Hello and welcome to The Dinner Agenda. I'm Beau.
And I'm CeeLo.
I can't believe that we're finally here doing our first episode.
I know, it seems kind of crazy. Like it felt like it was taking forever to get going and get organized and get all the tech stuff we needed and do all of that. But now it feels like time is flying by too fast.
I know, it's true. But I'm so psyched about it. I'm so glad that we're here.
Yeah, awesome sauce. Just before we get going, I did see the little clip that you sent me on the groundhogs or whatever they were, capybaras. I don't even know. And all of them like sitting in somebody's laundry room eating what? Chips? It sounded like they're eating chips. It was probably carrots or something. But
do you not find that that is the cutest flippin' thing when you hear these animals like chewing and crunching and?
I do. I'm a little addicted to it. I have to say, yeah. I do sometimes drop a chip on the floor just to hear my dog chew it.
Do you really?
I do.
That's awesome. I love it.
To hear the crunchy. But there's so many videos out there now, this ASMR, where people are wearing mics like on their hands while they do facials or mics as what's the sound, the crisp sound of things? It's called ASMR. It's hashtag ASMR.
What does that stand for? What the hell is ASMR?
It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And so I think the idea is that people get pleasant feelings from hearing these noises.
Oh, okay. So then I guess now's the time to admit that I get this pleasant sensation in my vag when I hear you chew your food.
Oh, that's nice. Let me go get a bag of chips right now.
No, don't stop.
Chips and carrots before we get going. I'm going to do a bit more research on this to see if I can find out any more information. But I just kept seeing like I watched these videos incessantly of chewing.
So. Yeah, me too. No, but not of people, though. Just of animals. Do you watch it of people as well?
No, that's fucking gross.
Okay, good.
I have the opposite reaction if it's people chewing.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, I think there's a name for that as well, where you can't stand the listening to somebody else chew their food.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
So when I, in the past, have called and left a voice message with me crunching chips, did that make you want to vomit?
Yeah, or 100%.
So, I'll make sure that I continue to do that then. That's awesome.
Okay, well, then I'll keep up my toilet flushing for you then. If that's how we're going to go, that's how we're going to go. What else was I going to say? The other thing that I'm a little addicted to watching is the carpet cleaning videos. Have you seen those?
What? Yes. No.
There's this guy and it's like an all white room and you only ever see him from like the knee down. And he rolls out this carpet, which looks like a patch of mud on this white floor.
Okay.
And then he starts with the power washer, right? Spraying the water, putting the soap on, scrubbing it, cleaning it.
I know what you're talking about. It's like a rug cleaning service thing, right?
It's an addictive thing. I watch them all the time. And now all I get on my feed are rug cleaners.
Okay. So here's the funny. I know what you're talking about. And I understand the satisfaction that you get from watching it, because it's like you get this massively dirty carpet and then they're cleaning it and it just looks so good. And then I want to call the company that does this and I want to get all my carpets cleaned.
Yeah.
I agree. There's this other thing I have to tell you. My husband, so Dave, he thinks I am the weirdest freak because I'm addicted to...
Dave is a smart guy though. So there's that.
Listen, that's enough out of you. But there is this thing on Facebook. It's Nate the Hoof Guy. Have you seen it?
I have not. I don't have Facebook.
Oh, that's right. You don't. Okay. So I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm like totally addicted to Nate the Hoof Guy. And basically what it is it's this guy who goes to farms, like he's called to tend to cows that are having problems with their hooves.
I've fucking seen these videos on Instagram.
Yeah. And he looks at that, like he's filming it. So he looks at the hoof and he diagnoses what it is and he's peeling, chipping it away. Yeah, like he's chipping it away. He's cleaning it. He's showing us where the issues are. And then he's putting he's cleaning it with this salicylic acid. And then, you know, whatever, this wash thing. And then he puts this powder on. Like, it's just, I can't stop watching it. I cannot stop watching it.
I've seen those videos and I too am like, I kind of can't stop. But then I feel like once they get that first layer off, like, how do they know when they're getting too close? And I'm afraid the animal's going to get hurt. Yeah. And I have on to the next one.
Yeah, me too. Especially if you see any kind of little blood or anything, then it's like, oh no,
poor I know. Poor baby.
So I'm starting to think that maybe you and I have something wrong with each other or with ourselves for liking this shit. But well, that's okay.
People are making freaking videos of it. So it must be not just us watching them.
That kind of reminds me of when we were in high school and I would say to you, no, really, is it us or is it them? And it always would be like, always them. So is it us that's crazy to watch Nate the Hoof Guy? No. If everybody's doing it, we must be sane. Right?
I think that I'm normal for watching some of those videos and you're crazy for knowing that they have a name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've gone one step too far.
Mm-hmm. We'll debate that.
Yeah.
However.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's on the agenda for our dinner this evening.
What are we chatting about? Oh, today we're talking about Ozempic.
Oh, that's a huge topic these days. That's
totally huge topic. Mm-hmm. I knew that you were talking about wanting to you're considering trying it, and we had said, oh, we'll have to talk about what your experience has been like. So I wanted to put that on the agenda because I think it's a good one. I think people are interested to hear, and I see so much on the media, like news outlets, as well as social media around different people's experiences. So I was kind of curious about that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was when I showed up at my dad's place for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in and the two of them, their clothes were hanging off. My dad and his wife, their clothes.
Oh, your dad and his wife, you mean?
Their clothes were hanging off of them. And I was like, hey, skinnies, what's going on? And they said that they had started Ozempic for diabetes. And that had helped them lose a little bit of weight and has actually helped. My dad's a bit of a sugar addict, much like I get it from somewhere, you know what I'm saying? And so I think it's helping them with that. But I think we should talk about it. We should talk about your experience with it.
That's so very interesting. I mean, okay, so I definitely want to know a little bit more about, because you said that you've been doing a little bit of reading on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to hear a little bit more about that. But I think before we say anything further, let's just mention that we are not medical experts in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. Okay?
So it's just, you know, anything that we're talking about here is just stuff that we've read, researched ourselves, or just experienced ourselves.
Own. Yeah.
So nothing should be considered medical advice in any way. But we are experts in being large-bodied girls.
What are you calling me fat?
Yes.
Okay. I can accept that. Okay. So yeah, on the research side, I did. So
what do you know? Tell me what you know.
Okay, so this is what I found out. Ozempic is a weekly injection that helps lower blood sugar by helping the pancreas make more insulin. It was created initially for diabetes and is not approved for weight loss, but some physicians prescribe it to be used for weight loss. According to the University of California, Davis Health, Ozempic, which is known generically as semaglutide, was approved in 2017 by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for use in adults with type 2 diabetes. And it works by mimicking a naturally occurring hormone. As those hormone levels rise, the molecules go to your brain telling you you're full. It also slows digestion by increasing the time it takes for food to leave the body. And when using Ozempic to treat diabetes, weight loss is a common side effect. So I'm assuming it gets prescribed for diabetes and then all of a sudden people are getting the side effect of weight loss.
Yeah.
And that's what started the bandwagon here.
It's like, hello, new market, right? Like
100%. Okay. And so I think the makers of Ozempic ended up producing also a product called Wegovy, which is also an injection. Mm. And it's basically Ozempic, but at higher doses and marketed specifically for weight loss and not diabetes management. So two different products with two different intents, but it sounds like they're pretty similar.
Interesting. Okay. So I, from what I know, so in Canada, I think Ozempic can only be prescribed up to 1 milligram when it's being used for weight loss. But if it's being used for diabetes, then it can be prescribed, I think, up to 2.4 milligrams.
Interesting.
But for being prescribed off-label for weight loss, only up to 1 milligram. And I think that's where, so it's interesting that you touched on Wegovy. I think that's where Wegovy comes in because the makers of Ozempic, it's the same product. Wegovy is the same product, but just at a higher dose. And it can be prescribed for weight loss up to 2.4 milligrams. So, and what I've read and what I've actually heard from just speaking to my doctor, which we'll get into a little bit later, 2.4 milligrams of the semaglutide, which is that ingredient that helps you lose weight in Ozempic and Wegovy, is the ideal dose for weight loss. I guess the issue is here, CeeLo, is that I think Wegovy is more expensive than Ozempic. I think that there's a bit of a big pharma product marketing ploy here. Do you know what I mean? Like
100%,
that, yeah.
100% for the same thing.
That's
right?
What I understand.
But I think, though, that in the last couple of years, we've seen this start to balloon, right? That they've found how they might be able to solve a problem. And now there's a whole bunch of different products hitting the market. There's another one called Contrave, which is a pill form.
Actually, I've heard of that. You know, I haven't tried it, but I did have a doctor who did try to prescribe it to me once for weight loss. But I didn't try it. But anyway, so what's Contrave, if you know about it?
I think it has like naltrexone, which is a medication used for people with alcohol dependency or opioid dependency. I believe Matthew Perry was taking that from what I heard on the news, just saying.
Was he really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, to manage some of his addiction. And the other component is bupropion. And so that is something that is also in products like Zyban and Wellbutrin. And so I think I took Zyban a million years ago to help quit smoking. So that's a common one as well.
Yeah, I recognize Zyban and Wellbutrin. I know a few people who've tried Zyban.
Yeah.
For
food?
For quitting smoking.
Quitting
smoking. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I guess anything that helps people control the cravings in a way, right? Like that's the intent behind it, is going to then hopefully help reduce the food intake, right?
Well, you know, it's funny, when my one doctor who I no longer see, not because of this, but for other reasons, but when he had recommended Contrave, I had checked in the pharmacy because my drug plan does not cover any kind of medications for weight loss. So I needed to find out how much it cost before I would actually commit to doing it. And I remember now, this was probably 5 years ago, it was super expensive, like really expensive, upwards of $450 to $500 a month. So I was just like, I cannot do that. So I didn't even bother trying it. But I know, so it's funny. So there's Ozempic and Wegovy. There's Contrave that you've just talked about. I know there's another weight loss medication called Saxenda and Xenical. There's two, Saxenda and Xenical.
Huh.
And I think Saxenda is an injectable similar to Ozempic. And I think it works the same way, where it's targeting the areas of your brain that tell you that you're full so that you eat less. But from what I understand, it doesn't work as well as semaglutide in Ozempic. It just doesn't have the same punch that the semaglutide has. So you don't see as much positive weight loss benefits coming out of Saxenda. And then there's Xenical, and I think that's a pill form. That decreases the amount of fat that your body can absorb. So I think you take that when you eat, and then it prohibits fat from not all fat, but a portion of the fat from being absorbed, which automatically helps you, I guess, eat less calories without you even thinking about it.
Or just shitting them out.
Or shitting them out. Do you remember? Okay. So do you remember those chips that they used to have? Oh gosh, I think it was back in the 80s, maybe 90s,
I wasn't
something.
I was born yet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go on.
Oh, the delusion is so high today. That's fantastic. Good for you. But anyways, I think they were called Wow Chips. I don't know if we had them in Canada. I think we did. But I remember the news stuff talking about you could eat them and feel guilt-free because they had an ingredient called olestra in it. And when you would eat these chips, your body would not absorb the fat from them. So you could have the joy of eating chips without having to worry about the caloric intake of said chips. But then there was the issue with people like shitting their pants all over the place, right?
So. That is fucking disgusting. I would rather be an enormous fat cell than have that happen to me. Like, come on, guys. Come on.
What's it with Elena leakage between friends?
Do you want gravy with that?
Fuck. Oh, my God. Just too far. That's disgusting.
Okay, I've taken it.
Oh, my God. You're disgusting.
A lot of those products and had been around for a while, and I feel like they've made big steps, obviously, in helping with it. The thing with weight loss drugs, though, not being covered, I kind of question, like, what's behind that? Maybe because too many people would pick it up. Maybe there needs to be some kind of rules around you have to be this much overweight in order to get it covered. Because I feel like, you know, being on the larger end of the spectrum, there's other health concerns and reasons that I end up going to the doctor that might be weight related, especially as I get older. And wouldn't it be beneficial for OHIP to kind of avoid that? And you know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know.
I
don't know if it's like a very good view of, or a good approach. It's not very.
I have thoughts. I definitely have thoughts about this. And, you know, I mean, they're contradictory at some level, right? These thoughts that I have about what you're talking about, because part of me is like, I agree with what you're saying. There are impacts. Occasionally there are impacts, or sometimes not always.
Yeah.
There are impacts to having excess body weight. They can cause other issues for sure.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I think it is possible to be a larger bodied person and be very healthy. I mean, I do know lots of people who, you know, their nutritional intake is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Even though they do eat excessively, and they do have, you know, more snacks than maybe they should, and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think it's possible to be larger and to be heavy. So part of me, I hate, you know, especially because I've experienced such discrimination at times from doctors. I hate that whole comment of, you know, wouldn't it just benefit everybody? Because, you know, everybody should be a thin weight, right?
Oh God!
Because then you get rid of all these other issues. And part of me is like, I think that's bullshit to a certain extent, where I think that that's just an easy out for doctors to say, oh, you have, you know, diabetes because you're fat, or you have
bad knee, your foot is
osteoarthritis,
your back
because you're fat. But meanwhile, what about all those other people who are not fat and have the exact same issue?
Yeah.
You know, I've experienced being denied surgery in the past, or being told that I would have to lose weight in order to get a hernia repaired, or to have, you know, like, so I mean, like, fuck off is what I say to some of that. But then that kind of lends itself to that whole fat acceptance, you know, movement that's out there now as well, where it's, you know, accept yourself as you are and start pushing back and advocating for yourself, because
you had done a lot of work with that, right? Like, you were getting there.
I did, but you know, and this is where the contradiction kind of comes in. So I have learned a lot in, you know, seeing professionals to talk about, you know, food issues and, you know, understanding, you know, acceptance of me and, you know, that kind of thing. And while there has been some really positive outcomes from that learning, there's still that part of me that just wants to fit in, you know? Yeah. Like I just want to fucking go shopping and I want to go into any store and be able to fucking buy something.
Yeah.
Not only be limited to the plus size stores, you know? So there's that. Yeah. And then there's still comments. I mean, I still get comments here and there, not from people who love me, you know what I mean? But from people who are mean and asshole-ish, you know, they still feel like it's acceptable.
That's horrible. I don't understand.
The last form of bigotry that's still acceptable here.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you. Yep. And by no means was I saying they should cover it under OHIP and prescribe it to anyone who feels they want to lose it. I wasn't thinking of it from that perspective, but I'm thinking more along the lines of someone who struggled their whole life, you know, has this food addiction, has now like heart condition, you know, like is that should be covered to help them is what my thinking is. But
I totally agree. And then, so let's add the other component, because I do agree with what you're saying. It's possible. I know this is going to sound conspiracy theorish, but you know, it's definitely possible that if you actually put to market these medications and they do actually make a good portion of people lose weight and alleviate a lot of other issues that they've had, medical issues, what happens to the makers of those other drugs that were being used to, you know, help manage those other issues? Do they go out of business? Does it impact our economy? Does it,
like, what happened to Dr. Bernstein, Weight Watchers, and Slim Fast?
Right.
Check.
Exactly. But, and you know, so these drug companies, they employ a lot of people. You know, they're billion-dollar companies.
Yeah, I guess they're some kind of like lobbyists.
I think it's beyond our ability to truly comprehend what's truly happening, because I just don't think we'll ever get the true truth out of anyone, you know, regarding it.
You're a theorist, though. I like that. I like some conspiracy.
Yeah.
In our... Think of different conspiracies that we think are out there and have a whole episode on it.
For sure. Actually, I've got some theories on. Yeah, that would actually be good. I'll hold them until we actually talk about it. That's good.
There'll be a follow-up item. I got you. Okay, so so you did start taking the O.
I did.
And
I did.
How long ago?
Okay, so I've taken it. It's been 6 months.
Okay.
It's been about 6 months.
And have you lost?
So you know what? I have lost some, but let me, it's so bizarre. So when I first, and I'll kind of go through, you know, what I experienced, the full detail of what I experienced, but when I first started the medication, like they have to titrate you up, right?
Right.
So you start at like a 0.25 milligram for a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you inject yourself once a week and you do that for the month, and then you move up to 0.5, do that for another month, and then you move to 1 milligram. And what I would say is, you know, in the beginning, it was really, really curbing my appetite, and it was really calming that food noise in my head. So I was not thinking about food as much as I had been in the past. If I was occupied with something, if I was working, or if I was, you know, I don't know, cleaning or whatever, I wasn't even thinking about food at all. I could actually skip lunch and not even realize that I had skipped lunch, which was not normal for me, right? And then I would eat, you know, I'd have a plate of dinner and I would, you know, eat half of it and be absolutely stuffed, but satisfied, which was a very odd sensation. Because I wasn't always satisfied, satisfied to the point where I want to stop.
Right.
Right. And where I felt I enjoyed my meal and I felt satiated and I felt, that was delicious and I'm good to stop. Like, it was a very positive experience. In the past, if I was eating something really yummy, I'd want to just keep going. Right. And until you get to the point of, oh my God, I'm so full, I can barely, you know, walk now. But, you know what I mean? But it's, I really noticed those three things really. It was the food intake. Like, you know, I got full faster. I felt very satisfied with what I ate and felt like I could happily stop at a comfortable place. And then I wasn't obsessed with food.
I feel like the whole satiated and not obsessed with food are the big things, right? Because how many times have you sat, you, me, whoever, I'm saying you in general, right? You sit down to eat. And like you said, you get on something and it's so good. You eat past your full point anyway. So you have a whole history of ignoring the full point.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
So that's like, that's just par for the course these days. It's the whole obsession or planning of what am I going to eat next? And
food noise.
Am I going to have enough?
Yeah. That's what I mean by food noise.
Is that like ASMR of food noise? No. Different thing.
Yeah. Very, very different thing.
That's a good thing. But in your world, actually, I never thought of it that way. Food noise. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that like, did you just come up with that or is that a thing?
No, I think I've heard it. I don't think I came up with that myself. I must have heard it.
I would take credit for it. Wow. Well done.
Mine,
oh, I love
all
it.
Mine.
Okay, there you go.
I am going to incorporate the word food noise.
Yes. I'm having some food noise right now because there's an open Toblerone on the counter upstairs. So
that's
being very noisy.
That's nice. Yeah. Don't ASMR it while we're on this podcast, please. Okay.
So you found it was helping. And did you have any negative side effects?
Well, okay. So the 3 months that I was first on it, that was what I was feeling in terms of the positives, right?
Right.
After the 3 months, and I'll get to the negative side effects in a sec, but after the 3 months, I feel like it almost stopped working for me, which is bizarre. So I know from being in therapy, and I know, from the dysfunctional family that I had growing up, I was never taught how to deal with my emotions ever. So I had to find a way as a child to learn how to deal with them. And I mimicked what I saw my mother doing, which was using food. So for me, if I'm stressed, if I'm upset or angry, or even if I'm super happy about something,
I'm going to use it to celebrate. I'm going to use it to cry. I'm going to use it when I'm mad.
Do.
Yeah.
And it's like it's such an intense draw to the food because I need to, especially if I'm stressed or upset, I need to calm those feelings and I need to calm them quickly because I can't sit with them well, right? It drives me crazy. So I turn to food and that seems to help, bring down those emotions temporarily. And because that's my issue, I wonder if that's why the Ozempic stopped having the same positive effects after the first 3 months, once my body maybe got used to it.
Right.
Because I went through a bit of a stressful situation after the first 3 months, and I was trying to deal with that. And I noticed that my appetite had returned and that I was thinking about food more and that I was snacking even when I wasn't hungry. So I think there's that psychological component for me that Ozempic is not going to fix.
Yeah.
So there's a bigger issue at play. But I think for somebody who may not have that issue, I think Ozempic might do really well for them because I originally, in the first 3 months, honestly, I think I lost about 20, 25 pounds maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe even a little bit more.
But you say...
Then I gained some back. Yeah. Believe it or not, in that last 3 months, I've gained some back. So I'm down about 17 right now.
Yeah, when you found it wasn't working, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You say maybe it would work for people that don't have that...
The psychological
component, right? But isn't that most of it for everyone... anyway, like I would think that if they can fix that in the brain somehow, and maybe that's only through therapy in a different way, right? It's not your belly telling you, it's your brain, and it's your brain that's been trained to operate a certain way for so long. And until you can change that or adjust that to the point where you're not obsessing about food or have that food noise, then it's going to be hard to control. It's going to be hard to control it.
You know, I think that's a good point. I think, an expert.
I'm really smart.
Yeah. Sometimes you are.
Okay.
So my thoughts on what you just said, because I think that's interesting. I wonder if someone like me, okay, so there's varying degrees of overweightness, if you will, right?
Yeah.
There's somebody who is 30 pounds overweight, or they're just on the borderline of what would be classified as obese. You know what I mean? Like, which is like, whatever, please, people. You know what I mean? If I only had 30 pounds to lose, I'd be like a happy, happy person. But so there's those kinds of people that I think, you know, may not have the same psychological, to the same degree, the same psychological dependency on food, right? Or, or issues with food. Then there's somebody like me who's more on the larger scale. I mean, I'm not like the, you know, 1,000-pound sisters big, right? Like on TV. Yeah. But, you know, I'm definitely needing to lose, you know, I could comfortably lose 100 pounds, right?
Oh, my word. And, that's too much.
Well, no, listen. If I wanted to fit within all the guidelines and if I wanted to be like a size, you know, 8 or whatever.
Yeah, but you said earlier, guidelines. There's people who are heavier that are fit and healthy. So
okay,
why don't we just say fit and healthy?
Okay, sure. If I wanted to be fit and healthy, which
and not, you know, at a fat store.
No, yeah, okay. Exactly. But the point that I'm kind of getting at, though, is I think those of us who are larger bodied, like much, much larger bodied, we get that way for a reason. And those are we are the type of people that usually have those psychological kind of impacts. And,
there's,
you know, I've always said, right or wrong, because I'm just speaking for myself here, but I've always said, you know, you can tell someone who's had a hard life or who's had trauma that they've been dealing with if they're overweight. You, like large, you know that they've gone through shit and that's why they're the size. Like, they wear it out in the open and it's for everybody to see. They can't hide it, right? But you know that they've been through something. Those of us that are going to have the trouble from a psychological standpoint, that I don't think Ozempic is going to help. But what I mean by it could help other people is if you're not to that point, like I've been yo-yo dieting.
Or you work on both, right? You do, you do some drug to help with cravings and food noise and you go to therapy and you, you know, work on some of the other things. Like, I don't think there's ever going to be a one-shot solution.
No, there isn't. But there's also, you know, if you have destroyed yourself from too much yo-yo dieting, that's going to impact your success, I think, as well. Not that I want to discourage anybody from trying something, but I mean, you know, the amount of yo-yo dieting I've done, you know, starting from the age of 9 to now, lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, lose weight. And it's a constant, constant, constant. It gets to the point now where if I try to restrict myself in any way, like actually follow a regimented diet, I get this like, it's almost, I don't even know how to explain it. I become really upset and really, I feel like I just can't do it anymore. I feel so restricted. I feel like I'm in jail. I feel like, you know, it's like torture almost. It's almost torture. And to go through it again, with all that restriction. And then I end up binging, right? Because
it doesn't work.
You restrict yourself for so long and you then, because you haven't been eating foods that are fun and tasty, you know, the second that you get the opportunity to, you are shoving it in your fucking face. Like there's no tomorrow. It's true, you know? And so all of those things, I think, play a big part in everything. And
I think it's
fucking society, CeeLo. That's what it is that has done this to us.
People who
it's fucking society.
Yeah. Okay, simmer. People who don't understand and don't struggle.
Yep.
Don't understand what the issue is. And that it's not just a matter of me having half a Toblerone for lunch. You know what I'm saying? There's so many other things around it and so many other things from our past and our childhood and things that have impacted us.
But oh, for sure.
I mean, I'm glad that you gave it a shot because I think, you know, each person needs to make their decision and go and do what they need to go and do and try things that they think will work for them. But there has been a little bit of press lately around people using Ozempic for weight loss, causing a shortage for those that like need it for diabetes. I think I saw something on Twitter or something like that. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I get it. I mean, I definitely get it. There's a medication out there that's specifically for someone's life, you know, like either life or death kind of situation. You know, diabetes is not something to play with, for sure. And I get that there's people that are upset. On the flip side, we're fucking desperate, man. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We are so unaccepted in society. We are so ridiculed and, you know, discriminated against at times. And I'm not saying that everyone has had that experience, but there's a lot of us who have. And when something does come on the market that says it can help you, well, fucking sure as shit, I'm going to give it a shot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I get that, you know, the shortage is not a fair outcome for people who are really struggling with diabetes. I acknowledge that. I'm just hoping the drug companies, you know,
no reason why they can't produce enough.
Okay, like, listen, there is no, you look at the history of all the companies out there who've launched diets, right? Like, I mean, there's millions of them. They make a fucking mint off of people who are desperate to lose weight.
Yeah.
And we all know this. The normal average person knows this.
Yeah.
You want to get rich, fucking come up with a diet. You know what I mean? But these companies who found that, you know, these weight loss injections for diabetes were actually causing weight loss, and they began to market it. I mean, you can see commercials on TV about using.
Just ask.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's the commercial. Yeah. But if you're going to go to that point where you're going to advertise it, talk about it,
better
put it in
a product out there ready to
have fucking goddamn product. Like, don't just sit there and say, oh, well, you know, that was just really stupid. That was dumb. I think that was a,
okay,
they wanted to test it out to see what kind of results people were going to get. And if there was a huge market for it, or if people were going to start to get it.
Exactly what they were doing. Oh my God. They know the market is there. That's crazy.
So I think that's why this has happened. And what I will tell you though, because I think it's important to note. So especially for the people who have diabetes, who are using it, who are angry about us fat people trying it and using up their storage. So at the pharmacy, when the shortage is on a high, they do actually prioritize people who are diabetic over people who are using it for weight loss.
Okay, that's good.
So I have had periods where I have not been able to get my prescription filled. And I had the choice of, because this was when I was at the 1 milligram dose, which is the highest I can go on right now. For Ozempic, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but I had the option of going off of it until the shortage was alleviated, or I could spend double the money and buy 2.5 milligram doses to make up the 1 milligram. So it was purely at my expense, but I was just not able to get the 1 milligram because those were being saved for it. Right. So that tends to be what happens. I'm not saying that happens with every pharmacy or every person's experience with it, but that's what I have experienced.
And we're going to come back to the negative side effects. So
yeah,
okay. I know you had said headaches was one, but what were there other? Did you have a leaky anus at any time? That's what I need to know.
I did not have anal. Oh my God. Okay. No. So yeah, I know I had mentioned to you in the past about, oh my God, I've got such bad headaches with it, but it didn't last long. So I would, when I was doing the 0.25 and the 0.5, the day after I would give myself the injection, I had headaches.
Yeah.
With the 0.25, the headache was like a nasty headache bordering on, migraine, I would say.
Yeah.
But I would take Tylenol throughout the day and, you know, I'd be able to function. No problem.
Yeah.
I felt a little nausea as well during day one and also day two. And the headache would get a little bit better day two, but it was still there. And that was for both the 0.25 and 0.5 doses.
Right.
That was, you know, the little bit of nausea, the headaches, that was pretty much all that I had negatively experienced. And then when I got to the 1 milligram, I guess my body had gotten used to it because I didn't really have the headaches anymore. And the nausea, I think I still get it here and there. I don't know why, but sometimes I get it here and there. What I have noticed is that this has given me a little bit of, and it's very mild, but it's a little bit of hypoglycemia, I think it is, where, you know, if I eat something that's too either sugary or I don't balance the meal. So if I have like just, I don't know, a piece of bread for for lunch or something, and there's no protein mixed in it with no healthy fat and, you know, no fiber and no whatever, I find that within 30 minutes to an hour, my blood can crash. Like, not crash to a dangerous point, but I start to get those, I start to feel a little shaky and I feel like I need to eat something, and then I start to feel really nauseous. So as long as I eat something that's relatively
balanced,
stabilizing, like a piece of protein and some fiber or whatever, then I feel better.
I imagine that would be the case anyway. Like, that would be
probably, like, but I never used to have that before. So I'm attributing it to this medication.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't have any, I mean, some people say that they have diarrhea on it. You know what does happen to me though? Okay. If I eat, here's an interesting side effect, whether it be negative or positive, I'm not quite sure how to label it. If I eat something that's really high in fat, so if I'm eating like, I don't know, chicken wings, or if I'm having like
fish and
Chinese food and I've got like, I'm eating all the, you know, chicken balls and, you know what I mean? Like the breaded torpedo shrimps and all that stuff. First of all, after I eat it, about 20 minutes after, I get really nauseous. I have never thrown up because of it, but I feel like really strong waves of nausea.
Interesting.
And then I do have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It usually within 30 minutes, like it seems to kind of go right through me if the fat content is too high. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a positive because in one sense, because it makes me not want to eat those things, right? Especially if I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, or if I'm at work or whatever, I don't even go near those things.
Because, well, that's good. Like, that's good. Like, that's going to make you make a better decision.
It's just not good if you don't have a choice with what you're eating and you're, you know.
Yeah. Well,
you just got to be careful.
There's always a choice other than chicken balls, but I understand the draw of the chicken ball. I do. I honestly do.
Yeah. Yeah,
so when are you back at the dock in a couple of months?
So it's funny. I actually just had a follow-up. So I was, when I spoke to my family doctor about trying Ozempic, she actually said that she would prefer me to go through an endocrinologist to be monitored because she wanted somebody who has a lot of expertise on this. So I first went to an endocrinologist who prescribed me Ozempic. I actually just had the follow-up with that doctor.
Yeah.
And so I did get confirmed. I am 17 pounds down, which he said in 16 months is great. To me, I was like, you know what? That's fantastic that it's great. And I'm happy that I'm down. I know I was down more and I know I've gained some back. So I know that there's something that's not quite working for me. So he said that he's going to give it a shot for Mounjaro. This is another medication that I don't think we've actually talked about. So I've got a little bit of info on it. Like Mounjaro is another diabetes medication. It's another injection, but the stats so far on any of the tests that they've been doing for off-label prescription for it, for weight loss, is showing that it's got a more superior impact to weight loss than Ozempic does. So it's beating out Ozempic And what my endocrinologist explained is that there is a third component that's added into Mounjaro that Ozempic does not have. So it deals with, you know, making you feel full.
Yeah.
It deals with helping with the food noise. But it also, you know, controls like appetite, blood sugar, all that other stuff. But it also helps with some other kind of enhancement of your metabolism in some way. So you get a bigger bang for your buck. So he's going to, we're going to give that a shot. And it's also prescribed at a higher dose as well.
Okay.
Than Ozempic is here. So I haven't started it yet, by the way, because I have a month left of my current Ozempic dose.
Yeah.
So I want to finish that because this shit is not cheap, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to use that. And once I use that, I will then give Mounjaro a test as long as I can get it, because he did warn me that there is a shortage of that too right now. So I may not be able to try it right away. But once I do,
yeah,
we'll have a follow-up and I'll let you know, and I'll do a comparison, my own experience comparison between Ozempic and Mounjaro. And we'll see.
It's
see
good. What after that. I mean, I think we'll definitely have to do a follow-up and see, like,
yeah,
the same thing, right? Are you having weight loss? Yeah. Do you have any side effects from it? Like, what are the pros and the cons? So we'll definitely do a follow-up on that and see,
yeah,
see what your experiences are. I think that you're brave and courageous to talk about this in this way.
Thanks.
And be okay with sharing it with people. Cause I think, like, that's one of the reasons why we started this, right? We feel like we've got some stories out there that people will appreciate hearing about, and feel somehow that maybe they're not quite as alone or on their own as they thought they were. So thank you for that, though. I appreciate it.
Oh, CeeLo, that's nice of you to say. And I'm right there with you with the exact same thoughts. I'm hoping that this may give someone who needs to hear it the information that they need.
Yeah.
You know? So
totes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totes.
Okay. Annalie, good girl. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. No problem.
That's your nickname now. All right, my dear. Until the next dinner agenda. This is Bo.
This is CeeLo. Thanks for taking a seat at the table today. We love our dinner guests.
Don't forget to subscribe and follow The Dinner Agenda on the podcast platform you use so that you don't miss any new episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Dinner Agenda.
We look forward to hearing your comments, questions, and even ideas you may have on future episodes.
Thanks for taking this journey with us.